Alright guys, you ready to rock? Are you excited? Well, sit back and enjoy. And welcome to the Mark the Shark Show.
Thanks for hitting that button. You are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. I hope everyone's having a great day. We have a great episode in store for you, so sit back and enjoy the show.
During World War II, I was in prison in a Nazi camp. I died there, or so I thought. Instead, I became a creature of the dark world. Now I fight to protect my daughter. I am Marcus the Vampire. The book is now available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and RetortoFamilyBooks.com.
Hi, this is Brandy Alexander, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Mark the Shark Show. Today, we got a special guest, Mike LaRusso, sales guru and author. How you doing today, Mike?
Very good. Great to be here, Mark.
All righty. Yeah, so let's give us a little background on yourself.
Sure.
Where are you from?
Originally New York, grew up in New Jersey, and then about 20 years ago, moved down to the Atlanta area, where I live now. But
it's good.
Yeah, and worked in the New York market for a lot of years and got my selling legs there, which you may or may not know. That's the place to be if you really want to learn the trade.
What were you selling in New York?
Mainly wireless products at the time. But I've been selling for about 40 years, and a lot of that time it's as a consultant, but not the fancy consultant. It's more of an independent contractor, where a company would hire me. They'll have a new product or a new territory to open, or even just any way to generate new business, new revenue. And they bring me in to learn the product, learn the customer, go out and prospect them and hunt them, sell them, and then move on.
Okay. Now, what made you decide to get into sales? Because I know there's potential for, good income and stuff, but I was always afraid to get into that.
You know, but beyond the income,
I like to know that I'm getting a guaranteed paycheck.
You know, it's funny because a lot of the time it went in the opposite direction where there wasn't one. But I'll be honest, what's it, Godfather 3? Every time I'm trying to get out, they pull me back in. It's just something in my fiber. You know, I have a college, I'm college educated, not even in business. And I thought I was going to do something more in the education end, and just went into sales. And like I said, it's more of the business development aspect of my character just comes through, and I'm always trying to look for opportunities and do deals as it relates to business. And I just always got pulled back into it.
Okay.
You know, I liked it much of the time, but the profession had changed where more and more control were being placed on sales professionals that were inhibiting their ability to develop business. And it got to a point where it was very, siloed, the idea of business development, where it used to be just a natural thing. And then they came up with terms like there's a hunter and there's a farmer, which never was separated when I first started in this. But the nuts and bolts of it was, as a consultant, I was always on a 3 to a 6 month contract initially. So I had to develop business rapidly before the contract term ended, and then I would have some kind of option. And the typical prospecting methods, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, you know, just generically cold calling, those types of things, phone calls, knocking on doors. Not only could they not produce rapidly, but they barely produce at all, certainly in the modern world now. So I had to develop my own methods to develop business, like I say, rapidly to satisfy the contract. And I did it all, and I came up with prospecting methods that were completely intuitive. It was all in my head for a long, long time. But like I say, as I worked for more and more companies, I saw not only because of the control, the demise of paychecks, like you say, compensation, and then ultimately the companies themselves. And there were a lot of them, and it was all due to this control, and none of them, their demise was due to lack of sales in any one of the situations. And I put in the book that of all the companies that I worked for as a consultant, 95% of them don't exist anymore. And not a single one of them went away because of a lack of sales or a lack of potential sales. So I decided to, you know, give a well-earned defense to the profession as well as to myself, and take my methods that were just intuitive and write them down as a step-by-step tutorial. And that was the initial motivation for the book, where it was almost like
the book called the Sales Professional Survival Guide, right?
Yeah, with the subtitle, A Blueprint for Tactical Prospecting. And originally the book was just A Blueprint for Tactical Prospecting, because I was just going to explain my prospecting methods. And the difference in that is it really is a detailed step by, it's almost like putting together a carburetor, exactly how to gain new business using my methods. But as I was writing the book, it became a cathartic experience, and I was reliving some of these things that, you know, in my mind are business tragedies, where, you know, businesses go away, investment capital, not to mention, you know, the employees' livelihoods. So it became a combination of a commentary on sales and in terms of exactly what's going on, because I lived it all. So I would describe the problems with the sales environment, certainly the modern sales environment. I would provide the solutions, which typically are my prospecting methods, because the solutions are just generating business. Sales always fixes everything. But then also the revolutionary aspect of it, besides my methods, were I created mathematical equations that support both those positions. So a layperson, business person, can go in and punch in numbers according to the equations that relate to the methods, and they can gauge their production, whether they're doing it right or wrong. And something like that's never been done. I mean, there's been metrics thrown around for years and years in the sales profession, but it was pretty, you know, pie in the sky, superficial type stuff. And then lastly, I've been in so many sales situations over the years that I also supported my position first as a problem and the solution with anecdotes, true to life experiences I've been through that actually explain what happened in certain situations that, you know, describe why one method doesn't work and one does. And that's where the original, the new title came out, the Sales Professional Survival Guide. I was working at a company, and this is kind of another incentive point. There was an intern who started there, and he was going to the local college, and he said he's getting a degree in sales, and I never even knew that existed. And then as I researched, more and more colleges are offering sales degrees. And then I, you know, started talking to them, and unfortunately, in my mind, they were being taught all the wrong things. Well, not all the wrong things, the ones that I'm describing, certainly as it relates to business development. So I said, you know, I'm going to write a survival guide and a tutorial for both the newbie sales student, but then also the C-level executives, because I've worked with a lot of them over the years, and they're, you know, they've got so much going on. They're running organizations. They want to know what the heck's going on at their business in relation to sales, and they're not really getting accurate information. So the book describes the reality of the profession and how to make it much better than it is.
I guess the math part is really more for the business owners to tell if their sales or sales force is doing well.
I'm sorry, I missed that more.
I'm assuming that the analytical side of that for business owners is to
see. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I'm saying, I'm assuming the analytical part is for how the owners of the business, correct?
Well, actually both, because when I wrote the methods and I was putting them down on paper, I had a colleague just review them who knew how I did things. And they understood what I did, and they still said it's still a little too ambiguous for somebody to go in and really absorb it. So this helps them, even the student, absorb it by saying, okay, am I doing this method right? Here's an equation that backs this specific method. I'm going to punch in the numbers and I'll see if it's producing what it's supposed to. It certainly is for the business owner. You're right there, because they have, in my experience, they don't have any accurate metrics on what's going on, unless, you know, just the bottom line and the revenue. I was meeting, as an example, I was meeting with a very, very large company, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they went into bankruptcy. So new management came in to run the company during the transition from the trustee. And I was sitting in on a couch across from the CEO. This is the new CEO. He was interim. And there was a coffee table in the middle. And he was describing what he's looking for. And he's saying, there's a problem with our sales, and I don't know how to address it. And I said, well, during the discussion, I said, well, why don't you give me an idea? Give me an example of one of the issues. And he described one of them to me. And I said, well, you know, just basically off the top of my head, you guys are not getting, you're doing things remotely and not getting in front of the customer. I think that was one of the answers. But the funny point was, he slapped the table, the coffee table, and screamed, that's exactly what I was saying. But nobody was agreeing with him in terms of the sales.
Was this during COVID or before?
Oh, no, this is a long time ago. This is about 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's one of the issues.
Now it's got to be a little different for that particular thing. A lot of people are doing stuff.
You see, as it relates to, COVID aside, those type of things, which I understand, if you can't get out into the field, there's no new prospecting methods to match the modern sales environment. So it's all retread of everything you've heard about. And I'm sure you've heard the cliches, knock on 100 doors a day, make 100 phone calls, those types of things. And the metrics just do not prove out real metrics, which is what I show in the book. But also, more and more, a myriad of processes have been laid at the feet of sales professionals. And a lot of it is IT-based, because there's more and more IT tools available for the business. And things like a CRM database, where you have to punch in your activity, and doing an order, inventory, IT. The sales professionals become inundated with processes that basically make them an employee of every other department, in addition to sales, because they're doing their job. And between the prospecting methods that don't produce and these processes that you're obligated to engage in, it just eats up all the business development time. And you're left with nothing to actually, it stifles a salesperson's talent, and you're not left with enough time in the reservoir to actually produce sales and produce money. And that's the basic issue with the demise of a lot of these organizations.
Okay. And in this book is currently out now, right?
Available. The official release is August 22nd, but by the end of the month, yeah, they'll be able to buy it online.
Like just off your website or?
Right, and through Amazon. Yeah, but not yet. The link's not up yet.
Okay. That's interesting. Now,
yeah, you got me right at the cusp, Mark. So that's right.
Yeah.
You're the first one.
It's good for promoting the product, right? Getting the word out there,
right?
Before. And now, is that one of your methods that you read about in your book to get out before a sales product comes out, to introduce the product before?
No, I don't really delve into those type of concepts. Like I said, it's really. This is the nuts and bolts of how you get a new customer, how to prospect for new business. And that's my specialty. Just to not get into the weeds with this, but the basic difference is typical prospecting and cold calling is, a salesperson has a product and they look for the right target customer. And they look up those type of businesses, get their contact information, and then try every way under the sun to communicate with them to get an appointment. And then after that, they run into a myriad of objections and to overcome to make the sale. And let's assume the ratio is a salesperson has to hit 100 businesses to make a sale, just as a typical average. I don't do that. With tactical prospecting, you're hunting for people, not businesses. So you're establishing alliance relationships with individuals who sell to the same type of decision maker. So there's almost a complementary type of back scratching where they may have contacts and customers that match my product and I have the same. and we form an alliance that's called an ally, because the alliance process is the actual process built on tactical prospecting. And so the difference is,
right?
Say that again.
So it would be like networking, I guess.
Yeah, but I stay as far away from that phrase as possible, because it was great when it first came out, and it really was, you know, it described accurately what you were doing, but it has been so diluted to just be a fancy way of cold calling that if I called it networking, everyone's eyes would glaze over. And it's a lot more involved than just networking. Is actually one of the tactics within tactical prospecting in the alliance process. But related back to that scenario, if the typical prospect and you have to communicate directly with 100 businesses to get a sale, if I have an ally who has a lot of contacts that either have a complementary product as mine or certainly the same decision maker, all of those obstacles that you inherit with cold calling are gone, because there's a trust, you know, comfort breeds trust, So they already know that what I'm selling, it can isolate of the 100 contacts he may have, maybe the 10 that actually need the product, have the ability to buy the product, and all of those other things, the trust, the vetting, getting by the gatekeeper, that's all eliminated because I've been vouched for by an ally, and same him with me. And now he can bring to me the 10 that want to buy the product instead of me searching the other 90 who don't and wasting my time. And, you know, it's not a time thing where it's just, boy, I want to do things quicker. You're on the clock. You either have a quota that's quarterly or monthly, and you have to produce within that time frame, regardless of my consulting agreement, just in general. And if I'm wasting my time with 90 out of 100 because it's all randomized, then I can never get enough of those appointments and then sales within the 30-day period.
Yeah, that makes sense. But here's my question. I don't know if you're allowed to answer it, because I don't know if you'd be giving too much away of your book. So it's up to you if you want to answer it.
Sure.
A newbie out of college and I'm in sales, how do I go about finding the allies?
The book, you mean? How do they find about the book?
No, allies to help me find customers. Because you said, like, if I have an ally that...
Oh, there are techniques I explain in detail in the book.
Oh, okay. But,
yeah, I mean, I can give you an example of one. If I'm selling...
Yeah, curious.
Yeah, it's looking for individuals who have a connection to the same type of decision maker you need. And I'll give you a great example. Okay. If I'm selling a product that a telephone system, let's say, and the IT manager in a company is the one who makes a decision basically on that, among others.
Yeah.
I can search for an IT managed service company or an IT consultant, quote unquote, who takes care of the IT services for businesses. And I make a connection with him, form an alliance, and now I could either sell into his customer base and he can sell my product to his customers, which are complementary as well. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But like I said, like, you know, sales is definitely very hard to, I guess, to get into and succeed in. You happen to know the stats of like the failure rate of a salesman?
The failure rate of salesmen or sales?
Oh, salesmen.
Well, let me put it this way. I worked at an organization. This is actually one of the anecdotes in the book, but it really hits home. And at the beginning of every year, we had to do a PowerPoint on our sales plan for the upcoming year.
Okay.
And there were 11 of us doing the presentation. And by the end of the year, everyone was gone except me.
Ooh.
And the difference is, one of the methods actually that are part of the alliance process is also a reason that certain salespeople are wildly successful with company and others are churned out the door repeatedly. And one of them, it's basically there's a level of being connected to the higher ups to get business handed to you. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing, because it's a very speedy way to get business. So you can have, you know, a certain type of prospecting nepotism going on where certain individuals get handed the leads that are prospected through advertising or marketing of the organization, or just generally who the CEO may know, and given to certain individuals, and the rest are left to do the typical prospecting methods, which don't work. And those are the ones. So you can have five or six sales professionals, you know, just killing it year after year, and 15 getting churned out the door every year.
Well, that's all very interesting. And for guys who are looking to get into sales, you know, if any of the listeners are listening to this podcast or looking to get into sales, or maybe you're a small business owner and you're looking to get strategy in place for your own sales force, then this book would be the one for you. Again, the author's name is Mike LaRusso, and the book is called The Sales Professional Survival Guide, a blueprint for tactical prospecting. And the release date is August 3rd, right,
Mike? August 22nd.
August 22nd. Will be available on his website, which is called MikeLaRusso.com, and on Amazon. Well, Mike, it was great having you on the podcast. I wish you success in book sales and whatnot. And hopefully, if you ever put out a sequel, we can have you back on the show.
You got it. Thanks so much for your time, Mark.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next in the next episode after this one. Take care.
Got it. Perfect.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Mark the Shark. I want everybody to know that not only do I have this podcast, I have another podcast about the sport of mixed martial arts. So if you're into that kind of thing, check out my other podcast called The Mark the Shark MMA Show. And if you want to be on that show or this show, make sure you contact me on Facebook at Mark the Shark MMA Show. And that's my Facebook channel. Or you can go to my website, www.markwithac.com. Again, it's www.markthesharkmmashow.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Mark_Ritorto2. That's Mark, MARC_Ritorto, RITORTO 2. That's for Instagram, or Mark BJJ Fighter on Twitter. And also, don't forget to check out my YouTube channels. I got the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel. That's Rockin' with Mark with a C again. Or the Mark the Shark MMA Show, all on YouTube. All right, guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast and keep on listening.
Hi, this is Scott Olgren, and you're listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Are you looking for your next action thriller novel? Check out The Cabal, The Saga Begins. You can find it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, or www.RitortoFamilyBooks.com. That's RITORTO FamilyBooks.com. Again, check out the next great action thriller suspense book called The Cabal, The Saga Begins. This is to all you parents out there. Are you looking for a great book for your child to read? Well, look no further. Christina Ritorto has done it again by putting out a sequel to her first book in the Invisible Girl series. The sequel is called A Little Bit Louder. Get it now at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or RitortoFamilyBooks.com. Again, the book is called A Little Bit Louder, written by Christina Ritorto.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah Driggs, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi, everyone. Well, unfortunately, all good things must come to an end, and that's all we have for this particular podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you keep following my podcast here, the Mark the Shark Show. And keep listening and look out for future podcast episodes.